Many foreign visitors and residents of the Czech Republic's picturesque cities may have felt the urge at some point to buy property in the country. But what does this exactly entail? And is it worth investing in a real estate market where prices have been rising for several years now? To find out, Radio Prague International interviewed several expats and real estate agents who are active in the business. In part one, we speak to American Colin Shea, whose investments in Czech properties have led him to become a full-fledged landlord. I caught up with Colin in Pension Via Ferrata, a guest house and restaurant in the northern Bohemian town of Děčín, which he owns. I began by asking him how he ended up in the Czech Republic.
Well, I came here for the first time in 1995. I just graduated university, and a friend of mine offered me a job. It was 13,000 crowns a month. She told me it was a lot of money here, and I'd be very rich, which turned out not to be the case. Yeah, so I was here for 4 years. Then we went to Holland until 2002. And when we moved back, we started investing in property. That was the first time we actually bought something here with my wife.
Was your investment into property, was it a large commitment, or was it just something that you did on the side in the beginning?
Well, first we started buying for ourselves. So we bought an apartment at Vyšehrad in 2003, I think, for 2.7 million crowns, which today I think is probably worth about 12. Then a few years after that, we bought a house in Branik, which was significantly bigger. Then we got divorced and I met my new wife. And then basically we decided to change strategies and start investing in commercial and residential properties.
Okay, and you were saying in the beginning you bought a few flats in Prague. That sounds kind of like just a normal purchase, I guess, if you live with a family. Yeah. But then you said that later on you started really properly investing. So yeah. Could you tell us what exactly happened later on? How did you, when you started, thinking strategically about this stuff, where did you go with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I realized that it doesn't make sense to own property in Prague, really, because the yields are so low. I mean, I was living in an apartment in Vinohrady after I started investing, paying 30,000 crowns a month. It's 400,000 crowns a year. That property would have cost at least 20 million to buy, maybe 25 million, 150 square meters right on Grabovka. So the yield is laughable. And I realized, because my new wife is from Děčín, we were coming up here quite a bit and we were thinking about where to invest money. And, we realized the yields were much higher up here, basically 8-9%. So then I said, okay, let's switch strategies. So I sold my house in Prague, started renting there, and then we started buying properties up here. So we bought two apartment buildings here, the one you're in now and then another one.
And could you just explain what exactly you mean by yield? Just sort of...
Yeah, sure. Well, yield is the... Let's say the cash you receive versus the amount you paid. So we have one apartment building in this town where, for example, we bought that for 4.8 million. That generates about 500,000 crowns per year gross return, ex insurance, taxes, management fees, etc. So the yield on that is above 10%. If you take the numerator is the cash and the denominator is the purchase price.
One of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you is because you have property in the region. Now, you've already sort of talked a bit about why you moved to Děčín, but what would you say, is it just the yields or why invest into property in the regions in the Czech Republic? Is that something that's come up now or is there any other logic behind it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, if you're a professional investor, you should look for yield. There's two elements. One is the cash return. The second is the appreciation. Now, people in Prague are obviously not looking for yield. They're betting on appreciation. But appreciation cannot go forever. I mean, the average price per square meter in the middle of Prague now is comparable to places in Manhattan. And incomes are 20 or 30% of what they are in Manhattan. Now, the idea that this is going to continue to grow 15% year on year ad infinitum is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. So, I think people are making a lot of bets in Prague on property appreciation, which simply mathematically cannot continue. Here it can. I've been buying stuff for 8,000-10,000 crowns per square meter. You can't build a property for that these days. So this must appreciate. And the appreciation element here has gone up quite a bit as well. Apartments that were going for 800, 1 million, 3 years ago are now selling for 2 million, 2.5 million. So the thing is here, there's not a lot of competition. Like, there's not a lot of people in these B cities who can put the cash together to buy a building. You know, whereas if you're in Prague, if you're in Brno, if you're in Karlovy Vary, you've got a lot of competition. If you're in Teplice, most ditching, you don't have a lot of competition.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying, because of course the prices are rising at record rates also in the regions. Also, Pragers themselves are moving out to buy property. And it was interesting what you were saying about Prague, that there's simply no investment value anymore. I don't know if you know the head of Remax, one of the largest Czech real estate agencies, David Krajny, recently told Aktuálně CZ that he thinks it is no longer profitable to buy properties in the whole of the Czech Republic for investment. So I guess you disagree with him. You still think there's space here in the regions. And do you think it's just in some regions or in general?
Well, I mean, I mostly specialize up here. I know prices have really gone up a lot in, you know, Ostrava, Brno, places that were pretty attractive, you know, 5 years ago. And I think, you know, there I would be cautious. I think in North Czech there are still opportunities. But again, it depends what you're buying. You know, if you can put together the resources to buy a building, you can still buy a building here for 6, 8, 10 million crowns. You know, even if an individual apartment might be going for 2.5. So, you know, people have money now to buy an individual apartment, but there's very few investors who can put together the cash to buy a building. That, I think, is a bit more the opportunity here. Definitely, there's still room for it to grow up here.
So when you say very few investors, you're just talking about, let's say, small investors, because there are, of course, these large investment firms which are buying up.
Yeah, sure. But they're not really active here. I mean, the thing is, they're still... you know, the big money is still chasing stuff in Prague, Brno, Olomouc, Vary, you know, places like that. They just haven't gotten down to this kind of town yet. So basically here, you know, the pool of investors is people like me, you know, people who've managed to put together some money from whatever. You know, certainly we're not talking, you know, hundreds of millions, but, you know, millions or tens of millions, there's certainly some activity.
But it has worked out for you, basically. You know, since you started investing in the early 2000s, you have been able to live like this.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we, you know, at this point, you know, we have a house here that we live in, which is 400 square meters and on, you know, 1,500 square meters of land next to a national forest, which I bought for probably the price of a 1+1 in Prague. And, yeah, and we have one long-term building and one short-term, the one you're in right now. And, yeah, all together, this has been a great investment.
When I saw that you were in Děčín, I thought, ah, okay, he made the connection between Czech, Switzerland, the climbing. Of course, you have the Via Ferrata right next to your pension, actually, yeah. Offer climbing. So I guess that also played a role, these sort of aspects.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we bought this first building, because we saw the Via Ferrata, and that was obviously a, you know, fantastic place for a restaurant and a hotel. Yeah, the building was big enough. So, I mean, our vision initially was to do this, was to, you know, make this restaurant and hotel complex.
And has that worked out? Especially, I guess, now, has COVID impacted the number of visitors?
Yeah, well, the hotel opened last year. We were ready to open in April, right when COVID hit, which, of course, was painful. The summer was good. It was full all summer. And the season's been very strong. I mean, it's a seasonal business, but it's pretty full from May to October. Of course, November through February is pretty weak.
It's also interesting because, of course, Děčín is near the border with Germany. So one could, I guess, assume that you might get some German tourists. But, of course, if you've opened just in the past year, I guess you wouldn't have had many of those. It was primarily Czechs. Or what was case?
No, there, actually, the German and Polish tourist scene here is pretty strong. And it was pretty strong even through COVID because, you know, people couldn't fly. So all the people, and also Czechs, I mean, all the people who normally are going to Bali or the Maldives or, you know, Costa Rica, they couldn't. So they were looking for places they could drive to, which, of course, you know, a lot of them ended up here. This isn't like Prague. You know, there's, like, Prague is very dependent on Russians, Americans, Chinese, Japanese, etc. And they're not here. So the Prague accommodation scene is really in trouble. But up here, I mean, we were 95% capacity the whole season.
Could you just tell me a bit more about when you said the Prague accommodation scene is really in trouble? Just tell me a bit more about that. Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, a lot of people, I mean, this is what part of what's driven the Prague prices a lot, right, is Airbnb. And you have these people who said, okay, I'm going to buy this 1+1 or a 2+KK for some insane price, which, you know, you could never make the money back from long term. It wouldn't make sense for you personally. But because I'm an Airbnb, it, you know, Russians or Chinese or Koreans or whoever, I'm going to make a bunch of money. And it doesn't matter if I have a 70,000 crown a month mortgage because I'm going to make 100,000 from Airbnb. Now, of course, this whole market just disappeared, you know, for the last couple of years. And I think a lot of those people are in trouble just because of COVID, A, and B, regulation is coming. I mean, the same regulations that have, you know, started to appear in Barcelona and Germany, et cetera, it's going to come to Prague because people are tired of having the whole central parts of their cities hollowed out and just becoming a giant kind of Airbnb.
And I'm guessing these risks that you were just talking about were also the reasons why you didn't get into that.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that short-term thing, I think that made sense, you know, 10 years ago. When I started, you know, really doing this like 5 years ago, it was pretty clear that this Airbnb thing was A, saturated, and B, pretty exposed to a regulatory intervention. So I thought it would be better to really do a pension, play by the rules, and not do this kind of Airbnb thing in Prague. And up here, there was a real shortage of accommodation. I mean, when I would come here and I would try to stay, there was no place to stay. I mean, a lot of times I just couldn't find a room up here. So I was like, well, if I can't find a room, it means nobody can find a room. So let's build 10 apartments.
I guess these have changed a lot. I mean, I don't know if you read this interview with David Krajny, but it was he was basically saying that there wasn't really a proper real estate agency infrastructure in the regions before like 2005. But I guess when you started buying in the regions, it had already been here. I was just asking because is there any difference if you're buying your flat in the regions compared to Prague in terms of, you know, going through real estate agents or picking out the property, going through the buying process, or is it just the same?
No, I think it's the same. I think there's good agencies and bad agencies everywhere. I mean, there's plenty of bad agencies in Prague, having dealt with some of them on the buy side and the sell side. Here, I actually had a better experience. There's one company that I bought one building through and our house through, and they've been active for a long time, and they're very professional.
Final question. What would be your recommendations to any foreigners either living here or just thinking to invest into property? We've already talked about it. You're basically saying, you know, the regions are the one where there is a margin of a profit. But, you know, if you had to summarize, what would you tell them?
I think it's easier to make money in ugly places. that's kind of my key takeaway. Like, and not that Ditchin's ugly, but it's, you know, it's not Prague, it's not Karlovy Vary, it's not Olomouc. People want to invest in Malostrana and places like that, and I think that's so saturated, and you can't get this kind of property appreciation that people have come to expect. So I think out in the regions, there's way more opportunity for that. People can't afford to live in Prague anymore. They're, you know, starting to move further and further away. You know, and this happened in where I'm from in the U.S. You know, people working in Boston at some point couldn't afford to live in Boston. In my hometown in New Hampshire, which is an hour away, became a commuter town from Boston. And that's kind of my theory about places like this. You know, Ústí, it's a 40-minute train ride from Prague. And Ústí is basically turning into a commuter feeder town to Prague. And eventually that's going to get to Děčín. So, you know, I think basically out in the regions, there's, you know, for a variety of reasons, that there's less competition, prices are lower, and there's going to be this kind of influx of people who want to work remote or commute into Prague is going to drive the prices long term.
And what do you think of all these sort of fears? You were talking about America, of course, in Britain as well, you know, that basically it changes into sort of commuter cities, you know, like London. People are saying, you know, that property price is just getting too high, that most people, they're renting. I mean, do you think that in the long term, is it going in a wrong way? Or do you think it'll just be fixed through new regulations and stuff?
Well, I mean,
The meta of the real estate market, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, it's much more difficult for young people today to get on the property ladder, you know, than it was when I was in my 20s. And that is kind of sad in many ways. I think there's a specific issue in Czech, which is that there's no property taxes. And because there's no property taxes, people sit on property a lot. And that really reduces the velocity of the market. You know, like in the U.S., property taxes are pretty high. If you're not doing something productive with the property, you need to sell it because you can't afford to pay these taxes. And here, people just sit on property and it doesn't do anything. And I think that kind of artificially constricts the supply. And, you know, the second point is there's no capital gains on this. So again, you know, people have every incentive to just sit on property because the returns from any gain you get are not taxed. I mean, I can't think of another market in the world where this is the case. So, I mean, the tax regime here really pushes people to sit and hold property in a way that doesn't in many other markets. And I think if the tax regime on that changed, and it's not to my advantage at all to propose this, but, you know, I think it does have a very, very strong impact in Czech, which could be fixed pretty easily.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you very much. Those are all the questions I had. Was there something which you feel, I always ask this question at the end, which perhaps I didn't ask or didn't touch on, something which you think might be particularly interesting, which you would like to mention?
Just maybe one point on the kind of back to the investments, like what I would advise people. Maybe two things. One is actually not to be afraid of gypsies. A lot of Czechs don't want to buy buildings where there's Romanies, and honestly, I've found that they're actually fine in many cases, like much better than the normal white Czechs, let's say. I mean, they're clean, they have jobs, they take care of their places, they don't meet the reputation at all. Like an apartment building with gypsies in it versus one with people on social support, you know, who are, let's say, normal white Czechs, you can get the one with gypsies in it for 20% less, and actually they take much better care of it. these people on social support, you know, that, again, people are nervous around that, but you get the money directly from the city. They pay, you know, whereas people who aren't on social support, occasionally they just disappear in the middle of the night owing you 3 months, you know. So actually this kind of low income thing, I think, is, it's an interesting segment. I take care of the buildings, I take care of it, you know, some people don't. I think that's gotten a very bad reputation, but if you charge a fair fee and take care of the building and keep it in good shape, I think this is an entirely reasonable strategy.
People often, when they're sort of, oh, I should buy a property, how much does actually go into the upkeep? So when you're talking about the ultimate profit, you know, like say how much you get through rent and how much you get through upkeep, how significant, you know, are the upkeep costs?
Let's say if I take that building where I have long-term renters, you know, that costs $4.8 million. It has 8 apartments in it. I pay a property manager 200 crowns per apartment per month to fix small stuff around it. Probably over the last 5 years, I've had to buy every new apartment a boiler, water heater, or something like that. There was a problem with the roof. You know, so just in this case, I probably spent another $300,000, something like that, on repairs over the time. But that was kind of front-loaded. If you maintain it properly and take care of it, and you do a proper inspection before you buy it. You know, I think that's important. That's one point. You know, inspect the building, bring in a professional. What you don't want is to buy a property like this and then find out you got dry rot up in the roof or some problem in the pipes or something like that. Like a couple times I've really had somebody save my ass by, you know, some things that I didn't see that, you know, a professional inspector will find and say, hey, look, you know, you got a million crown repair project here. And that's what you really have to watch out for.